Mark chapter 11. In the Word of God, in Mark, we have a story of Jesus and the disciples. They were staying on the Mount of Olives. They were staying in a city called Bethany. Jesus each day went down to the city of Jerusalem to minister the Word. But Jesus would not stay in the city in the evening, because in the morning when He went down there and throughout the day, He caused such a ruckus, He caused such a stirring up in the city, that at the end of the day, He would have to leave, because if He stayed there at night, the ruckus would get worse and it would just be compounded the next day. So He would take His disciples and leave the city at night, walk some 2 miles up the Mount of Olives to a city called Bethany, and there they would spend the night. And each day, each morning, Jesus and the disciples would come right back down the mountain, 2 miles to the city of Jerusalem, and speak the Word and preach. Each morning, as Jesus came down the mountain, they came through a small city called Bethsaida, right on the Mount of Olives. And it was called the Bethsaida, which means city of the figs. And the fig trees were in abundance. And Jesus, on this particular occasion, came down the mountain. The fig trees were all ripe. Each morning, they would stop and get the figs from the trees. In other words, Jesus and the disciples would just have breakfast. They'd walk down the mountain and grab the figs. But one morning, you know the story. Jesus came to the tree and He parted back the leaves, and all He found was more leaves. He parted back those leaves and all He found was more leaves. And then Jesus did something strange. While the disciples were standing there, Jesus backed off and said to the tree, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." He turned around and walked off. And He didn't do it under His breath. He didn't whisper it. He didn't say it in His heart. He said it out loud, because the Bible says, "And His disciples heard it." In other words, it was loud enough where the disciples could hear it. The Bible doesn't say the disciples said anything. I doubt if they did say anything. They probably looked at each other and they started to go, "No, no, talking to trees. Jesus is talking to trees." So they kept their mouths shut. They went away later. I'm sure they might have discussed it in town. I'm sure they probably talked about it among themselves. But the Bible never says they even talked to Jesus about it at all. But when they walked away from that tree, nothing looked different. The tree was still green, the bark was still brown, the tree looked the same. They walked off and they didn't notice it until the next day. So in verse 20 it says, of Mark chapter 11, "And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots." Underline that statement, "from the roots." "They saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away." Notice, Peter had forgot about it, and he recalled it to remembrance. Told the disciples, told Jesus, he said, "Look, Master, the fig tree that you cursed is withered away." And Jesus answering saith unto them, "Have faith in God." Now, isn't that strange? Here Peter is talking about a dead fig tree, and Jesus says, "Have faith in God." What does a fig tree have to do with faith in God? It's the principle of the fig tree that we're going to study today. Jesus had cursed that fig tree, and now He brings out that the way He did it was by the faith of God. Now, your King James says there again, "Have faith in God." Now, that's a little blind to us. It's a little difficult to understand, because we all say, "Well, I have faith in God." Ask any Christian, "Do you have faith in God?" "Yes, I have faith in God." And most of the time, their faith in God is this: "I have faith that God can do anything He wants to. I have faith in God. God can, you know, if God wants to turn this building green, He can do it. God can do anything." That's their faith in God. In other words, "I have faith that God can do whatever He pleases." But in other words, it's divorcing God from me. God's out there, I'm over here. My faith in God is that He's over there doing His thing. I'll stay over here and do my thing. Jesus now pulls the two worlds together and says, "The way that I caused this natural manifestation in a physical tree was by faith in the unseen Creator, God." Now the Greek says this, and many of your translations bring it out this way. He didn't say, "Have faith in God." He said, "Have the faith of God." Many translations bring that out. That's closer to the Greek. You say, "Well, what does the faith of God mean?" Well, that's Old English, "have the faith of God." And it simply means have God's faith. In other words, if I wanted to send you to the store this morning and I handed you the keys to my car and I said, "Have the car of Bob," you know that's just Old English for "have Bob's car." Use this car. It's my car. Use it. Okay? He's saying here, you can have God's own faith. Have the faith of who? God. All right, let's go on. Here's how the faith of God works. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Now, what he started out with in verse 22 was this, have the faith of who? Who? Now notice he didn't say have the faith of Peter, God forbid. He didn't say have the faith of John, God forbid. He didn't say have the faith of Caesar. He didn't say have the faith of Matthew. Notice he didn't even say have the faith of Jesus. Why? Because faith comes from God, period. All right, you say, yes, but don't men everywhere have faith? Yes, they do to some extent. They have natural human faith. The whole world operates to some extent on natural human faith. You walked in here this morning and sat down on that chair thoroughly expecting it to hold you up. Okay? You walk into a room sometime, you flip on a light switch. In fact, usually the way you walk into a room, if you're like me, I walk into a room and I'm looking straight ahead, my hand just reaches over for the light switch, I flip it on and keep right on going. I thoroughly expect those lights to come on. My faith, natural human faith, says I've done it a million times before, it's going to work this time just like it's worked every other time. But my friend, I'm going to ask you a question. Could there ever come a day that seat wouldn't hold you up? Amen. Could there ever come a day when you flip on the light switch and it didn't work? Yes, that's happened time and time again. And you know what? If that seat fell through, you would be astonished. What happened? I can't believe. Who's the crummy guy that made these chairs? It just fell through on me. Or you walk into a room and flip on the light switch and nothing happened. You get about two paces before you stopped and you go, what's that? I expected the lights to come on. What's wrong? Public service company out of business? Did my light bulb burn out again? I bet one of those fuses are out. I might have to throw a breaker somewhere. In other words, you are surprised when the seat falls through. You are surprised when the lights don't work. But you know what? We're usually surprised when God's faith does work. And it's more sure than human faith. You ever seen somebody? Oh, my prayer was answered. Amen? Now, he didn't say have the faith of men. Why? The faith of men could fail. But will the faith of God ever fail? No. My friend, if your lights don't work, probably your light bulbs are out or the fuse is out or the circuit breaker's out. I doubt very seriously if public service company went under. I doubt that seriously. In other words, they're still producing. There's something wrong on your end. My friend, when your faith does not work, it's not God's fault, period. He'll never go out of business. He'll never quit putting the power out. It's your fault. One of the quickest ways to tell if it's your light bulb or one of your fuses, look out the door and see if everybody else's lights are on. If their lights are on, it's guaranteed you got a fault somewhere. All right? And my friend, one of the strangest things to do is look around, see everybody else's faith working and say, God doesn't like you. My friend, there's nothing wrong on God's end. Faith's working everywhere. People getting their needs met. And if you're not getting your needs met, it is your fault. And the Word of God is quick to tell us where we make mistakes, all right? It's not like God says, here, have the faith of God, and if you make any mistakes, I'm going to keep it hidden from you. God is more anxious for you to get your faith working than you are to get your faith working. And so God has put in the Word of God why and when faith does not work. We'll be taking those up in the weeks to come. But again, he said, have the faith of God. Have the faith of who?
God.
Who?
All
right, so first of all, we understand faith does not come from men. This type of faith that he's talking about. Have the faith of God. Now, let me ask you this. Can God be seen with the natural eye? No, so neither can faith. All right, I mean, if faith comes from God and God can't be seen, then faith cannot be seen. But does that mean that faith is not real because we can't see it with our eyes? No, we know God is real. How many believe God? Let me see. You know there's a God. How many have you ever seen Him? All right. Bible says no man's ever seen God. Okay. But just because you haven't seen Him with your natural eye, you know He exists. How many of you believe in angels? Let me see your hands. How many have ever seen an angel? A few. All right. The rest of you, you haven't seen angels. But you know they exist. Did you know angels are in this room right now? Oh, man, were they worshiping God during that song? Boy, they were just shouting during our song service. They were having a good time. When we hold up our hands and praise God, they hold up their hands and praise God. All right? They worship along with us. Praise God. There's angels all around me right now. When I walk, they walk. There's one here, there's one there, they're all around me. The Bible says the angel of the Lord encamps around those that fear Him, and I do fear Him. And I'll tell you what, I believe we have many angels the more we walk in faith. I believe the more you start walking in faith, the more angels God sends to protect you and be around you. It was stated of Elisha that when the servant's eyes were open, he saw horses and chariots of fire on the mountains around Elisha. You know what that tells me? Elisha was the center of where all the angels were. They were all around him, but they were all surrounding Elisha, so much so they went out all the way into the mountains. My friend, I believe that's me. When I take a step, thousands move. I believe in the spirit world, you can hear horses, you know, and you can hear them stamping their feet like this, and you can hear the angels with all their chariots. You can hear all the war horses out there. You can hear all the armor. Man, when I take a step, it sounds like a symphony in the spirit world. Tinkle, tinkle, tinkle. You know, that's me, all right? And I believe you're the same way. When you start to walk in faith, you become a bigger threat to the devil. It takes more angels to protect you. So there's angels all around me. Now, I can't feel an angel with my hand. I believe right now my hand just went through an angel. He's standing right there. On this side, there's another angel right there. But because I can't feel an angel with my natural hand, doesn't mean that angels don't exist. Nor does it mean that angels do not have substance. Substance must be defined. There is substance in the natural world, and there is substance in the spirit world. Substance in the natural world can be handled and felt by natural hands. But my friend, I'm thoroughly convinced, if I could step over right now into the spirit world, I could handle angels, I could feel angels, I could shake their hand, I could feel their wings, I could stroke their hair, I could ask them questions, because in the spirit world, angels have substance. Do you understand? The Bible tells us in the book of Corinthians, there are celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. Terrestrial bodies, that's what I have right now on this earth. But glory to God, one of these days I'm going to have a celestial body just like that of the Lord Jesus Christ. It can be handled, it can be felt, but it's part of the spirit world. Now, again, just because you can't see faith doesn't mean it doesn't exist. The Bible says, now faith is the what? The what?
Substance.
Did you know faith has substance? It's just not substance in this world. It's substance in that world. Did you know faith is as real to God as that chair is to you you're sitting on? God can handle it. He can feel it. It has substance. I believe in the spirit world, when you believe God's word in your heart and you say it with your mouth, you produce substance in the spirit world. I believe if we can see in the spirit world, when you make a faith's confession, substance appears, and that's the substance God takes to mold and to shape the thing that you desire and the thing that you want. And then what? He brings it back into this natural world. How many of you are born again? Let me see your hand. You know what? You're freaks. You are. Now, not freaks according to God, but freaks according to the world. You know why? You've been born again. You are a citizen of two worlds. And the way you enter into a world is by birth. You know, in the United States, we have a thing called the Bill of Rights. And it starts out this way: to everyone that is born is given certain inalienable rights. Those two words go together, birth and rights. When you're born into a kingdom, you have rights. When I got born into this natural world, I had natural rights that I had to learn about so that I could use. But when I got born again into God's world, I got some rights in His world. There's some laws that operate in His world. I got born again. I'm in God's world. I've got two daddies. I've got an earthly daddy and a heavenly daddy. I've got two citizenships, one on earth and one in heaven. Glory to God. So I'm a citizen of two worlds. But I've got to learn to use my citizenship that God has given me, because it's even greater than the citizenship I have here. I have rights in the spirit world, and they're even greater than the rights that I have here. So when I got born again, I became a citizen of God's world, and He gave me certain things. Now, Romans chapter 12 and verse 3 says this, that we are not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, every man there must be qualified. Because the beginning of that verse says, I'm speaking to every man among you. Among you who? You Roman believers. You that are born again. In fact, chapter 12, verse 1 starts out, and I, brethren, beseech you by the mercies of God. So he's speaking to brethren, those who are born again. Then he says, to every man among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, God has dealt to every man among you the measure of faith. We have all been given the measure of faith when we got born again, when we were born into God's kingdom. How many of you have the measure of faith? All right. In fact, 2 Peter 1:1 says this. It says to every man, it says he has dealt like precious faith. We all have like or equal precious faith. Now, did you get more faith than I did? Did Oral Roberts get more faith than you did? There's a tendency to say, oh, yes, definitely. No. No. How about Brother Hagin? Oh, yes, Brother Hagin. Copeland. Oh, definitely Brother Copeland. He got more faith than I did. No, no, no. We all got the same measure of faith. It's just that Brother Copeland has done more with his measure than you have. Brother Hagin has done a lot with his measure of faith. You see, the potential is there. We've all been given the measure of faith, but it's up to us to increase that and use that faith by feeding it on God's Word. So we've all been given the measure of faith. But where did that measure of faith come from? Jesus told John in Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, he said, that which is born of flesh is what? And that which is born of spirit is? All right, Jesus was simply bringing out a principle or a law that was established in Genesis. Flesh produces flesh, spirit produces spirit, or everything produces after its own kind. All right? God established that in the book of Genesis. Wheat produces what? Corn produces. Love produces. See, everything produces after its own kind. If you sow one thing, that's exactly what you're going to reap. You can't throw green beans in the ground and expect tulips to come up. It won't work. All right? Everything produces after its own kind. Dogs produce. Come on. Dogs produce. Cats produce. Monkeys produce. People produce. Monkeys don't produce people. Amen. It's just a law. Everything produces after its own kind. Monkeys never have produced people, nor will they ever. Everything produces after its own kind. Dogs produce dogs. Cats produce cats. Wheat produces wheat. Love produces love. People produce people. And God, who is the Father of spirits, produces that which is born of spirit is spirit. So follow me. Your outward man was not born of God. Your outward man was born of man. It was your inward man that was born of God. When you got born again, nothing in the physical changed. When the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. That's speaking of the inward man. My spirit man was made new in the Lord, and my spirit man was produced of God. God, when he came into my life, he didn't produce my body because God is not a body. He didn't produce my mind because God is not a mind. God produces after his own kind, and he produces spirits. So my spirit was born of God. Now, first of all, again, everything produces after its own kind. That's number one. Number two, everything has attributes. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, cats have whiskers. Dogs have tails. Elephants have trunks. You know, if a cat walked in here this morning, we wouldn't mistake it for a dog. Why? It has no dog attributes at all. It looks like every other cat. When a cat produces a cat, it passes on cat attributes. It doesn't pass on monkey attributes. Okay? Cats produce cats, and all the attributes of a cat are given to that cat when it's born. All right? When a dog is born, it has, you know, tails just like other dogs and a nose just like other dogs. It looks just like dogs. When a monkey's born, when an elephant's born, when a cow is born, they all have those attributes of that animal. And you see, when I was born into this natural world, I got all of man's attributes. All right? I got hands because I was born of man. I got feet because I was born of man. I got ears because I was born of man. I got a nose because I was born of man. Eyes because I was born of man. All those came because I was born of man. Follow me. When I got born of God, I got all of his attributes. love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, temperance, faithfulness. And the measure of faith was given to me. Why? It's an attribute of God. He didn't say, have the faith of men. He said, have the faith of God. So therefore, if faith is an attribute of God, I had to get it when I was born of God. Children don't grow up to be 5 years old and there's a hand. They don't grow up to be 10 years old and there's a foot. No, they had their hands and their feet when they were born. All right? Now, when I was born, these hands were little bitty. Okay? Now, this might be a striking revelation to you, but I've got the same hands I was born with. I've got the same feet I was born with. I've got the same ears and nose and eyes that I had when I was born. I didn't, you know, when I got to be 5 years old, they didn't take off my hands and put five-year-old hands on me. And when I got to be 10 years old, they didn't take off these feet and put 10-year-old feet on me. No. In other words, when I was born, these hands had the capability of increasing to their present size. It was just built in. My feet automatically, when I was born, had the ability to increase to their present size. But there's things I must do to get these hands and feet to increase. Number one is feed it. Number two is use it. All right? Now, when I was born, these hands were very little. But what's the first thing I had to do with hands? I had to discover them. Okay? You ever seen a baby when he discovers his hands? Isn't that the cutest thing? Laying there in bed, you know, and he... you know? Finds out he's got two of them. Now, my friend, he didn't gain those hands when he discovered them. He discovered what he already had. Now, the most useless prayer you can pray is, God, give me faith. Oh, God, give me faith. I just want faith. And one day went, remember when Brother Copeland told you, you've already got it? Remember all those years you'd prayed for it, and one day somebody went like this, they went, look, I do. I've already got it. What a revelation. But my friend, you didn't get faith when you found it. You discovered what you had always had from the time you were born again. It's an attribute, all right? So when you discover those hands, then the next thing is you begin to use them. Now, my friend, first of all, when you discover your hands and start to use them, you will make many mistakes. When you discover your feet, you'll make many mistakes. Children do not start out running. Children do not start out walking. They start out crawling. When they first take their first steps, they fall. Many times they fall. But they don't get up after they fall one time and say, see, their feet don't work. See, their hands don't work. I dropped the bottle once and therefore hands don't work. No, but how many times do we as Christians? We come out from one Kenneth Copeland meeting and because our 707 didn't manifest in 1 week, we say, see, their faith doesn't work. I didn't get my 5-bedroom home. And after all, I believed God for 2 whole weeks. And it just doesn't work. My friend, you will make mistakes. And I'm going to tell you something. These hands that at one time couldn't hold a bottle can now drive a car. These eyes that at one time couldn't focus can now read a book. And these feet that at one time couldn't even hold me up can make me run right down the street. Amen? They've matured. Now, again, I still make mistakes. These feet that run down the street still stumble once in a while. And I'm going to tell you, I don't care how much you grow in faith, you're still going to make mistakes now and then. Except your mistakes get fewer and fewer and the successes get bigger and bigger and bigger. Amen. So again, faith is an attribute of God. Everything produces after its own kind and everything has attributes. So I got faith because I was born of God, and faith increases and matures the same way a part of your body increases and matures is by feeding it and using it. Hands don't grow by straining. I'm going to say it again. Hands don't grow by straining. Have you ever seen somebody go, grow? Now, you laugh, but there's people out there trying to do the same thing with their faith. Grow. Grow. No, no, no. Faith has the ability within itself to grow if you'll feed it and use it. My hand, I mean, surprisingly enough, it's bigger than it was 12 or 13, 15 years ago. But I didn't do anything. I just kept feeding this body and using this hand, and it just grew. Faith is the same way. My friend, if you are straining in your faith, you're probably out beyond where your faith is at. All right? Faith rests assuredly in the promises of God. Steps confidently out on the Word of God. Why? Because it knows what God has said. Faith is not a blind leap into the unknown. That's what some people think. Well, glory to God, I'm just going to jump out there, and that's faith. That is stupidity. Faith is not a blind leap into the unknown. It is a calculated step on the Word of God. It has plenty of the Word of God under it before it ever makes the first step. It is not a blind leap. So again, faith is an attribute of God. It comes from the new birth because God produces our spirit. And next of all, faith can grow. Now finally this, Jesus said in these scriptures, have the faith of God, for whosoever shall what? Whosoever so what? Say. Now that is the way that faith is released. Now first of all again, everything produces after its own kind. Second of all, everything has attributes. Thirdly, everything has a voice. Cats meow. Dogs bark. Cows moo. This is a real elementary lesson, isn't it, this morning? You're all saying, what is all this, you know? My friend, sometimes we get so far out there in faith, we don't just see the basics, okay? God does everything with purpose and order, all right? Everything has a voice. If a dog walked in here this morning and meowed, we'd think something's wrong with that dog. Because why? That's not the voice of a dog. If a cat walked in here and barked, we'd say something's wrong. That's not the voice of a cat. All right? Everything has a voice. Again, dogs bark and cats meow and babies cry when a child's born in this earth. It cries just like every other human being because it's got a human voice. And finally, last of all, when your spirit man is born of God, it has God's voice. The voice of the inward man calls those things which be not as though they were. It's just as natural for your spirit man to call those things which be not as though they were as it is for a cat to meow and a dog to bark and a baby to cry. Your spirit man desires to call those things which be not as though they were. Jesus again said, have the faith of who? God. Remember I said that we are a citizen of two worlds. We are in the spirit world and in the natural world. But you see, when we get born again, it's not like God's way off over here and we're over here. No, we are a member of both worlds. But Jesus showed us how to get things out of that spiritual world and bring them into the natural world, and that is by faith. Faith is the link between the two worlds. Faith joins the natural world on one end with the spirit world on the other. When you become born of God, He gives you that link, and it's up to you to use that link to stretch out into the spirit world and bring back into the natural world the thing that you desire and the thing that you want. Faith is what causes your prayer to go up to God, but it's also what causes the manifestation to come back down to you. Faith joins the two worlds and brings back that impossible situation out of the spirit world where nothing is impossible. Quit looking at it in the natural and start looking at it through the eyes of the Spirit and understand your spirit is hooked up to its Creator, God the Father, and all of God's attributes belong to you. If nothing is impossible with God, then my friend, nothing is impossible with me. Why? Because I've got His life, nature, and ability down on the inside of me. Faith reaches out into that unseen world and brings it back into this natural world, and the way that faith is produced is by the words of your mouth. Faith takes what's on the inside down here and brings it out and causes those two worlds to become linked up. When Jesus cursed the fig tree, the next day Peter came by, calling to remembrance, said, Master, the fig tree which thou curseth is withered up from thee what? All right. Notice that faith-filled words do not attack the leaves. Faith-filled words do not attack the bark. Faith-filled words go under the ground into the unseen world and attack the problem by the roots. My friend, if you're sick this morning, the roots of your sickness are not in the lumps on your body, not in the pain that you feel. The roots of that sickness are in the unseen spirit world. And when you use faith-filled words, those words attack that problem by the root and kill it from the root. It's just going to take time for the leaves to change color and the bark to fall off. Oh, glory to God. Praise God. Have the faith of who? God. Whosoever shall unto this mountain, be thou removed. See, faith goes down and starts working on the foundation of the mountain where you can't see it. But one of these days, glory to God, that mountain just goes and falls off into the sea. Having problems with Satan this morning, sickness and disease? Speak faith-filled words, walk off and leave your problem knowing that your faith is working on the roots. You'll come by in a couple of days and glory to God, you'll see it changing. Faith-filled words speaks to those lumps on your body and knows that it's cursed from the roots. A few days later, you'll begin to see the color change. You'll begin to see that thing begin to drop off. That's what faith-filled words can do. Don't speak faith-filled words and look at the bark. Don't speak faith-filled words and look at the leaves. That's not where faith is working. It's working in that unseen world of the Spirit and causing your problems to disappear and the blessings of God to move in its place. Glory to God. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, I thank you for your word that lives and abides forever. It's been sown into the hearts of these people right now and is producing. And Father, I give you praise and honor and glory for it. While no one's looking around, you're here this morning, you say, I have never been born again. If I were to die today, I don't know that I would go to heaven or if I'd go to hell.
Thank you for listening to this podcast by Pastor Bob Yandian. If you would like to learn more about Bob Yandian or to view a product list, visit our website at bobyandian.com. Bob Yandian Ministries is training up a new generation in the Word of God. If you've been blessed by this ministry, we hope you will consider paying it forward and becoming a partner with Pastor Bob. For more information, visit bobyandian.com.
But I want to know that